First name.
It's Paul. There's me and my wife, Heather.
Lovely.
I was aware of Christians Against Poverty. I picked up your leaflet when I went to give blood at the Baptist.
Thank you for that.
I am going through a mental health crisis at the minute. Okay. It's all sent me over the edge. I'm under watch for suicide watch at the minute. There was an attempt last Wednesday. I didn't go through with it.
Is there anything for Heather that we should be made aware of?
She just had an operation for cancer.
What I need you to do now is just give me an overview of what your debts are.
Okay. We were managing them up until Christmas, really, and then we just started to have no money left in our account when direct debits were going out, so we haven't paid electrical gas since Christmas. I've got a attachment of earnings order which takes a third of my wages away, and that happened on Wednesday, which tipped me over the edge.
What's that for?
Council tax.
Okay.
So yeah, there's council tax that we haven't been able to pay either.
Okay.
The rent is the one thing that we've made sure that we paid, so that I wanted to make sure that we still had a roof over the head, and then anything else doesn't matter as long as we've got a roof over our heads.
So, nearest available appointment is the 7th of June. So, you booked in with a lovely lady called Helen.
Right? Yeah.
She will gather your paperwork. We're going to help you to budget, work your payments out for your creditors, go through the options available, and just advise on what we feel is best based on your personal circumstance. All right?
Right. Okay.
And that's it. All done.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
No worries. Thanks for your call today, Paul. And we look
all
forward
right.
to working with you. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
I know some of us have had experienced this kind of situation at one point in time. Or we've heard of someone who has also been in a similar situation at one point in their life. I'm standing here looking good, you know, in my summer body. Feeling happy and looking, you know, smart. But there was also a point in my life, I was almost at the same place where Paul was. And I look around, there's so many people as well who have also been. On Thursday, my son and I took him to the orthodontist. He's old enough to go, but I decided to, you know, we're going to walk. He had finished his GCSE. We took the bus. On our way back, we said, oh, let's take a walk and then probably, you know, get some drinks. You know, it was good weather. And I just wanted to have a father and son conversation, long journey. But on that call, or on that walk, I got a call. And the first thing I did was look at my phone because then, you know, I could tell who was calling. So I said I was going to ignore. I don't know what happened. I always believe the Holy Spirit knows how to trigger things. There's some calls you don't want to take, but then he says, take it. So I said, son, I hope you don't mind if I take this call. I said, yeah, go for it. Lo and behold, as soon as I picked that call, there was somebody on the other side of the line crying. I said, I can't take this anymore. I can't do it anymore. Everywhere I go for work, I'm undervalued. I feel I cannot be given. And she just kept crying. And my son is here. I just kept saying, calm down, calm down. I'm good with words. I lecture at the university. I've been doing that for more than 8 years. I also consult, so I speak with clients. I'm good with this. But I also lost the right words to say at that time. All I could say was, calm down. Calm down. I'm not saying don't cry, but I'm saying calm down. Yes, you have to cry. Just cry. Just cry. But calm down. I mean that everything that, you know, she was saying at that time, I want to do this, I want to do that. I just said, no. Just calm down. Calm down. Once you're done crying, we can still talk. My heart was broken at that point in time because, You know, when you're good with words and that you just couldn't find the right words at that time. But at the end of it, long story short, I encouraged her with everything I could say. It's always easy at that point in time to lead someone to Christ. But I had done this before. But at this point in time, the person needed something which was words of encouragement. All right, send me your CV. Let's look at your CV again. I've got a few contacts. Let me push that to someone. I'm going to send you some links to some jobs. But in the meantime, you do this, you do this, you do that, you do this. So what are you going to do next? That's the next thing we always ask as coaches. What are you going to do next? When you hang up this call, what are you going to do? I'm going to go out, go take a walk. All right, cool. Do that. Just that. And make sure you stay in touch. Paul, that call that you just heard, is one of many that the Christians Against Poverty tends to take every time. I've been volunteering for CAP before COVID, and I can tell you I've come across people. I've come across circumstances and situations that sometimes don't make me sleep well. But I've learned how to, you know, contain my own and take them to the King of Kings. I pray. I also work hard. My family, we've also been through things. We've also cried as a family. We prayed as a family. We went to church on one Sunday morning, just like this. Came back home, packed the car. And the next morning, wifey went downstairs to take the car to work. There was no car. I was like, ah, honey, where's the car? I'm like, we packed it there. There was no car. And she had to go to work. But what did we do? She said, I'll walk to work. And she took the bus. And I went back and the kids were at home. And do you know why they were at home? Because I couldn't pay their fees. And they're here today. We went through it. My little girl, Abigail, said, Dad, well, we lost that car. Maybe God is giving us a bigger one. And we laugh over these things. That's what we do, isn't it? And then what was most important was we held hands and we prayed. We gave God thanks. And with faith, I took the car keys. There was no car, but I took the car keys, put them in my pocket. And guess where I was going? I was going to the job club with CAP. I was going to speak at CAP. Before the end of that day, a brother in church called and said, I was not feeling too well on Sunday, but I saw your message on the WhatsApp group. And I think we should just take a ride. And I said, well, I'm in church. I said, you're in church doing what? I said, well, there's a CAP engagement. There's a job club. And I run the job club, so I had to be there. He said, you're there? I said, I'm there. Even the pastor was shocked that I was there. So I said, well, come to church. And once I'm done, we'll drive. And he did. He came. He waited once I finished. And it was 5-7 minutes away from the church. We saw the car parked and abandoned. And this was the same car the police said they couldn't find. It cost us money to fix the car. But you know what? That car is still doing God's work. It's parked outside today. Now, the reason why I'm giving you all of this is because CAP receives over 16,000 calls per year. And it has increased in the last couple of years. With people having issues and problems. And none of us are exempted. None of us are exempted. We've either been through it or we're supporting somebody who has been through it. CAP over the years, that's what we've been doing. Right, I hope this works. It should work. Next slide, please. In fact, as we speak, 1 in 5 people are living under the crushing weight of poverty. If we look around us, 1 in 5 people. Now imagine this room. There's 1 in 5 of us, we're struggling. CAP did a work with the Bible Society and a few other organizations, and a survey was conducted to see the size of poverty in the UK. How many of us have ever been to Wembley Stadium? Now you know how jam-packed it is. How many people can feel that? Now, if we look at the size of Wembley Stadiums, we're looking at having 100 types of Wembley Stadiums. And if we were to take the statistics of people who were dealing with poverty, they will fill each of those 100 Wembley stadiums. And they live around us. Some of them dress real good. Some of them wear money suits. So it's old, you know. So we still wear them. They look good when we put them in the washing machine. My wife and I and the kids also volunteer at the food pantry in our church. So there's a whole lot that we do for the church as well. All volunteering. We wash dishes, we vacuum the ground, we do everything. We serve people in church. I'm a deacon, so I serve wholeheartedly. But do you know what touches our heart the most? Is when we see people smile when they come with problems. And it can only happen because of places just like this. Churches like this will open their doors for the work of CAP. CAP has been in existence since 1996. And the founder, Dr. John Kirby, also was going through a phase like this. He was also at the verge. He was bankrupt completely. He was done. Like, if he tells you his personal story, he uses words like, you know, I was out and done. And at that point in time, God laid it in his heart in Bradford. And he started Christians Against Poverty. He had gone through the same phase and is helping others go through it. I've been through the same thing. And today I'm standing, I'm telling you, you can also go through it and come out on the better side. But it can only happen with the support of the church. Sometimes it breaks my heart when, you know, I see people walk on the street and I cannot tell exactly what's in their mind. I see people smile and I cannot tell what's in their mind. Yesterday I was in a class and I was teaching and there was a young boy, Myron. Not really young, but because I'm older than him, so I say he's younger. And I said, Myron, would you be able to finish your coursework? And he said, sir, I don't understand. I said, why? Why wouldn't you be able to do it? He said, because I went to the hospital and they were supposed to like check a little bit of my lungs, but they chopped half of it. I'm like, what do you mean they chopped half of your lungs? And he opened his shirt and he showed me scars everywhere. I said, okay, Myron, just pull the shirt down, okay? This is not ordinary, but you're in your final year, so I'm going to supervise you. I'm going to work with you through it all. And I could see his face drop. But at that point in time, I knew he needed the support. Okay, thank you very much. I hope I don't mistake it for the Holy Communion. Now, every one of us can play the same role like Jesus played. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the scripture makes us to understand that the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Christ had come to give us life and give it to the fullest. Some other version says he comes to give us life and give us more abundantly. In CAP, we talk about life to the fullest. And every time, God always intends for us to be able to give people life to the fullest. But the question is, how? Well, that's what CAP does. This morning, while I was, you know, preparing and I was looking at some notes, I had to look at some statistics, and there was one that really struck my eyes. And it was done by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, JRF. And it was published on the, you know, the House of Commons website. It's published everywhere. And I'm just going to read out a few statistics. It says, last year, the nation went through the polls, general election. And the report that JRF had put together sets out, you know, the nature of poverty in the UK run up to the election. And the scale of the poverty that we're looking at, this is the statistics. It says over 1 in 5 people in the UK are in poverty. That is 14.3 million people. It says, of this, 8.1 million are working age adults. 4.3 million are children. And this is the one that broke my heart. 1.9 million are pensioners. It means that they're old people. I don't like to call them old people, but, you know, the people who are older than I am, who currently are enjoying the weather, but when it gets to the winter period, there's a big struggle. This is where CAP sets in, and this is where the work of CAP cannot be complete without the church. The thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, when people look at the church, they think it's the building. The church is not the building. The church is you and I. You and I. Jesus has called us for this great work, this commission, you and I. And people say, oh, Anthony, you speak so well. You get paid by CAP. I can tell you, more than 90% of the people who represent CAP are purely volunteers. You mean you don't get paid? No. I get more satisfaction when I see a life saved, when I see somebody happy, when I see somebody who, like Paul, who was at the verge of committing suicide. Do you know what it feels like to get those brown envelopes come through your door? You know the brown envelopes we're talking about here. And then we refuse to open them because they give us, like, you know, some panic attacks. So we let them pile up. And when they pile up, the problem does not leave. The phone calls also come in. And then you ignore the phone calls. You even change your number. Then what happens? There's a knock on the door. Paul had the same situation. And he had a choice. He said, for anything I will do, I just make sure I have the roof over my head. I can pay my rent. After then, we do not know. Now, while he was dealing with that pile of debt, the wife was also dealing with cancer. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I'm just going to read that very quickly. And that's in Matthew 14. I'm just going to read 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they could go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Now, I'll pause there for a while. Now, these were his disciples. They were humans just like you and I. And in this kind of situation, I have a pastor, and I sometimes, like, protect him, you know. I'm sure some of us do it here as well. When we see that he's, you know, he's overwhelmed, you know, everyone is coming to him, we try to, like, you know, shield and, you know, and just let him have some breather. I'm sure the disciples were doing the same thing. In the large church, that's what sometimes we do. But Jesus didn't think like they were thinking. And that's why we're the body of Christ. We're the church. And this is what he said in verse 16. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." In the New Living Translation, it says, "It is not necessary that they go away." In other words, what he was saying to them was, no, they need not go. Are gone. Verse 17. It says, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. 18. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, sometimes when we read those, you know, when we read that story, some of us have heard that story. You know, we've heard them as little children up until adults. Now, when I read that story as a Bible scholar, if I read it from an academic point of view, I can actually write a thesis out of that verse. 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now look in this room. How many women can you count? There are more than men. Just look around. There are more women in this room than men. And we counted 5,000 men besides women and children. It means that there were much more than 5,000 that were recorded. And Jesus didn't say to them, go away. And I'll break it down here. He says, let them come. Now, if we look at that verse, Jesus was being human. Now, let me tell you why he was being human. He just heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been killed. He just heard. That's the beginning of that verse, of that chapter. He just heard. And he was going to a solitary place, a remote place, away to cry. He just wanted to cry. Just cry. But then problems followed him. And rather than say, guys, go away. I'm dealing with my own grief here. He said, no, come. He said, come. What do we have? And some of us will look at ourselves and say, well, I don't have much, so just go away. I've just got one loaf of bread. Just go away. It's not enough for me and my family. But Jesus says, bring them to me. And he directed the people to sit down. And he gave thanks. He broke it. That verse goes on, that chapter goes on to say, it says, they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up a basket full, 12 basket full. The work that CAP does goes beyond what we can imagine. 50%, more than half of those receiving universal credit, ran out of food in January 2024. Now, with a slash in that universal credit, you can tell that that number has risen. 4 in 10 adults had gone without electricity or gas at once in a month. And we can tell, after the last elections, that number has also gone up. But I'm speaking to us today, like people who understand what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, what would Jesus do if you were put in his place? He says, we're here to proclaim the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness those who are imprisoned. So you and I seated here have a role to play in CAP. I'm glad when I spoke to Ian, he was like, you know, we're opening this church, you know, the programs, and I'm like, that's exactly what I want to hear. That the church is open to the community. That we're going to do not only CAP activities, but also, was it the foundation or so? There were other, you know, charity programs that we're also looking to do. I'm like, this is exactly what the church needs. To open its doors. That people who do not know Jesus will come to know him because they brought their problems to his feet. It says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Poverty is not what Christ ever wanted for us. I can tell you that boldly because that's in the scripture. It says, my thought for you of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. That's what the scripture says. That's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. My thoughts for you of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I don't know what your situation is, but I want to tell you that as God's people, we are called to bring hope of Jesus to everyone around us. Things may not look good for you, but I tell you, once we surrender our own issues to God, he uses us as a vessel to help others. There was a time in my life my business went down. It just crumbled. There were no more clients. I also lost the contract and everything just went boom. The number of CVs that I did for people, the number of people that I helped get jobs. And sometimes I ask God, when would you give me mine? And people are like, Anthony, thank you very much. I just got a new job. Oh, I made calls and people were giving, but how about me? How about me? I asked God the question as well. And some of us are seated here and said, well, how can I contribute to CAP? How about me, God? How can I work with CAP? How about my own issues? I'll tell you. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, I didn't surrender because others were going to look at me and say, and give me a crown. And that's why when the worship came, you know, I love worship. I love to sing. I sing as well. I started singing in the Lutheran from the age of 12, 13. So I sing well. But my wife says I don't sing well. But you see the song that we sang? I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. When it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. The work of CAP is all about Jesus. It's not us. It's about Him. And so I want to invite you today to also join me in this same work. I'm inviting you. It's a clarion call. You might look like, you know, it's bad today. But I tell you, you're better off than some people out there on the street. I've led more people to Christ in the place of brokenness. I've told more people about Jesus just by seeing me the way I do things. I've spoken to more people with problems. And I realized that all they just need is somebody to talk to. Just somebody to talk to. Somebody approached me in church. I was looking good. I'm always, you know, I try to dress good. But he didn't know my bank account was looking minus, 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 minus. And he said, Anthony, I need to get to work. And I didn't have money. I said, don't worry, I'll sort you out. Send me your bank account. But on my walk home, I said, God, help me here. All I just needed was ask my wife. I said, honey, this is what's happening. She said, all right. I could squeeze out something. I said, oh, that would be great. And she sent it to him. But do you know, before that week ran out, she got it back. Much more than what she gave. We've not lacked. As I speak to you, it might look not good, but we've never lacked. We've never lacked food on our table. We've never lacked enough not to help others. And today I'm doing the same thing. I'm here telling you about that same good news of Jesus. And I want to invite you to be part of us. It's not about the quantity of people. No. Sometimes you could have people, I call them bench warmers. They come to church, they just sit in church. Okay, we have them everywhere. But you see, the real people who are called unto Christ, it's in their heart. So my message to you today, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Would you be a part of that call? Will you be a part of it? We'll look to the left, we'll look to the right. Will you be a part of it? Well, I could tell you how. If you could play that last video for me, just one more video, just play that video.
Can you see it? In this place we call home, do you see the signs? The standard of living in decline as yet another household falls below the poverty line. Do you see it? In this city that never stands still, so many at a standstill, anxious and unsure, as another brown envelope arrives through the door. Can you hear it? The murmurs and the groans, another propped up smile, another high interest loan, stolen joy, limited choices, stifled voices. Listen. Can you hear it? Crisis, the cry is as the cost of living rises. Mounting debt, inflation, growing isolation, can you feel it? As rent increases and food prices soar, there is an outpour of need. People struggling to feed their families, to heat their homes, do you feel it? The weight of that decision, to sacrifice your next meal in order to pay your electricity bill. The hidden cost, the price you pay just to get through another day. What do you do when your income can't see you through the month? Unable to keep up, too many expenses, it's become too expensive when your budget won't stretch to the basic essentials. When every transaction is apprehensive, inadequate wages, the problem's extensive. What can you do? Feeling like there's no escape, exploring even the darkest paths in the hope of finding a way out, needing more than just a handout, but a shoulder to lean on, eyes that see and ears that hear that you're still here. It's an epidemic. Cracked at the root, the problem's systemic. As the wealth divide grows ever wide, white knuckled trying to hold on to both sides, trying to keep it together, something has to give. Tell me, is there a different way to live? Unsustainable budgets, expenses soaring, poverty arriving at new doors, your neighbour next door, you're working poor, food bank queues like we've never seen before. How do we respond? Local authorities supported by charities, volunteers and staff rallying, united against what's financially challenging. Christians Against Poverty. Follow the call to see a life transformed and hope restored. A shift that brings a community healed. People drowning thrown a lifeline with an understanding of what's real. A compassion, a heart. A church not apart but united to bring these things that remain. Faith, hope, love. Christians Against Poverty. It's time to stand up and be counted. If not now, when? If not you, who? Will you follow the call and become a life changer with a regular gift of £14 per month? Your generosity will allow us to support those barely surviving under the weight of debt and poverty to discover life in all its fullness.
Thank you very much. If not now, when? If not you, who? The founder of Salvation Army, William Booth, said that you cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have an empty stomach and cold feet. And so today I'm asking you to join us. £14 is like a suggestion. It's just a suggestion. But please, give as much as you're able to do. There's a regular gift of £14 would enable us to answer the call to 7 more people just like Paul each month. In their moment of crisis, we're always there for them. You can also set up, you know, a life-changing monthly, you know, donation. I'll be at the back, you know, sharing coffee and then tea and biscuits with you at the end of service. But you can also give in many ways. And so I just want to call onto you. Sometimes it's not in the quantity, it's the quality. It's not in the numbers, but it's in the heart. And I just want you to join me on this journey as we help more people not only come out of poverty, but the most important thing is know this Jesus for themselves too. It's the sweetest thing I can ever do. The best gift I can ever leave for my children is that they know this Jesus for themselves. That's the sweetest thing. They know. My wife and I started it a long time ago. They must know Jesus for themselves. My wife and I and the whole family, we started this year to read the Bible from back to back. I've read it before, but every time I read it, there's something new. And so my wife and I and my first daughter have read the Bible this year, all of it. And we're on a second journey, and this second journey is actually to break into the scripture and let God speak to us. So if you're just going to stay on one verse, just stay there and let God speak to you. Even if it's going to take 1 year for one verse to minister to you, stay there. And some people want to read it like a literature. Just read it like a novel. You can sit on the train from Liverpool Street to Enfield Town. You can finish the Bible, okay? But if it has no meaning in your heart, you won't be able to do what we do today. And so for me, this is a clarion call. Would you follow the call? And if you're there, I just want to pray with you, if you don't mind. This church is going to be open. I'm hoping that Ian will be able to reach out, you know, and then we'll be able to talk about having a job center, a job club, you know, there's so much we could do as a church and draw more people to God. Let them come. Just by showing that generosity, more people will get to know him. Just picking up that call and helping somebody through debt, the person ends up in church and shares their own testimony. And that testimony helps the other person. No one is far too gone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. Your word is the bread of life. And by it, Lord, we continue to breathe, we continue to live, and we continue to make an impact in our community. We ask, Lord, that as your word has gone forth, let it bear forth fruit. Let it transform lives. Let it bring hope to those who probably have come into this room with a heavy laden. And let them know that Jesus in no way drives you away. He rather says, come just as you are. And so, Father, we thank you for the work of CAP. We thank you for everyone that volunteers for CAP. We also thank you for this church that has opened its doors to hear the word of CAP. But above all, we thank you that the church is marching on and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We know that the enemy cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Father, you have given us a word, and you say that you have come to give life and give it more abundantly, to the fullest. For everyone, Lord, who will follow this call, we ask, Lord, that you will do something new in your life. Said upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and the children of Jacob shall possess their possession. Father, let this church begin to possess its possession. The church is the people. And we ask, Lord, that you will bring growth to this church. That as more people come with their problems and they get resolved, the church will grow and reach out to more people. And this entire community will know that indeed Jesus is Lord. Father, we thank you. And we say, take all the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Thank you. I'm going to struggle now. Because for me this morning, it's really touched me. You know that we as a church support CAP. You know that Vicky and I have been trained as CAP coaches. And I'm looking at Gordon. Please. Because I think you're going to get on with that today. I think you're going to get on with that today. When I spoke to Anthony about coming here, I told him about the Work of the Need project. And Gordon is the project lead, and it's his vision, and he's been stuck with it for years. And I didn't mean that as in stuck with it, but he's stuck with it for years. And as we know that they've just bought at great expense the old Methodist church, and they're now doing it out. And Gordon's vision for that and for the rest of the team that were there is, you know, to open it up as rooms for the community to come into. And I see part of what CAP does being part of that. All the parcels that they send out week in, week out, the thousands of pounds of the food that they deliver to the people in need. And as Anthony said, one in five people are struggling. And, you know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but, you know, I'm sure people in this room, if we're asked and we're brave enough, would put their hands up. And we have to serve Jesus in our community. And when I say... Anthony says, you know, what can you give? Yeah, money's great, but our heart is greater. And whether that's just helping the team prepare food parcels, and whilst out there saying, as we know Gordon and the team do, in terms of giving people hope and showing them Jesus is the way forward. But just saying, if they get that little hint that they are struggling in some shape or form, just saying, have you heard of CAP? I mean, Anthony will probably hate me for saying, you know, let's give him more clients. Not that we want more clients, but if there are people that are struggling, show them the way. Give them the hope. So I just I just pray that as we go about this week, we've been encouraged by what Anthony said this morning, that it opens our eyes to the people that we see in the street. The person sat outside Greg's in Letchworth who wants a coffee, who wants a conversation, who wants prayer. And we all can play that part. And we just pray that God will show us. We've got to pray for you two guys. Father, I pray for Anthony and I pray for his family and I pray for the work that he does for CAP. And Lord, we thank you for the words that he's given us this morning, for the encouragement to go out this week knowing that as we take stock of the world in which we live, that we can be empowered through the power of Christ to serve you in this community. Lord, I bless him as he continues his work, as he encourages others. And I pray that we are all enthused and motivated and excited to do God's work in whatever way that we can. And Father, I pray for Gordon and I pray for the Need Project and I need for all the people that are working in that and all those that are converting that church right now, Lord, that that will be a beacon of hope to people in this community, Lord. That it will be a signpost that there is hope through the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Gordon will be encouraged by what he's heard this morning, that what the work that he... the work that you do is so powerful and is touching lives every single day. And that can be a burden sometimes. And Lord, I just pray that you just give him what he needs to get through each and every day, through the difficult conversations he has with his clients, with the things that he sees, and the heartstrings that are pulled every time. And we pray that you bless him more and more, I pray. And for the whole team, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've been struggling with a lot of things over the last month, and the reason why I came this morning, well, I knew I did. The Lord brought me here this morning for sure, because I wasn't coming, mate. I was not coming here this morning. I was going to clean my camp. I was going to clean my camper van this morning. My wife was going to come by herself because I said I'm not going. And Ian said something to me 2 days ago, and I felt, no, I'm going to come, and I'm glad I did. Bless you, mate.
Corinthians 2, verse 1 tells us, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Amen.
Remember no wrongs we have done, amidst the unknowing he counts every song, thrown into the sea with a bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord,
his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his darkness new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord,
His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord,
His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood with His death we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord,
His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord,
His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Father God, You are the ultimate giver. Jesus, You gave Your all on the cross for us. You invite us to be a part of the adventure of living, giving lives. Lord, we thank You for the challenge, but also the encouragement, the inspiration to learn how much can be done with so little. Because for those who have nothing, a little is what saves their lives. It's what transforms their lives. It's what gives them hope. And Lord, sometimes we forget that You only ask us to do a little. But together, when it's all added up, it becomes a great and mighty, unlimited, unbounded ocean of love, of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, of help, of assistance, of practical working out of the love of God for all people. Lord, we thank You for the message we've heard today, but don't let us just feel good. Help us to feel convicted. And to do whatever little we can do, wherever we can do it. So that we can be a part of Your gospel and kingdom message of good news that saves lives, transforms lives, and brings people hope. It welcomes people into Your kingdom and gives us all eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For which we give You the thanks and praise. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, our thanks to Anthony and to Esther and the family for being here today. Anthony has a table set up in our back hall, so please do stop by to talk to him and to see the literature and whatever materials that he has there about CAP. We are so grateful to you. We bless you all. Your family. family for being here. We bless everybody and bless everybody on Zoom who's been a part of our service here today. God bless you all. God be with you. Don't forget prayer meeting tonight and the open house at Mance on Saturday between 1 and 5, to which everybody is, of course, welcome. And be good to see you there. God bless you all. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Ian. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to Noah. Thank you to Tracy, who probably can't hear me, but thank you, Tracy, anyway. Bless you all. Have a great week, and bless you. Thanks. If you have to rush, that's understandable, but if you're able to join us for refreshments and to chat with Anthony, please do so.